In today's Mishnah, it's from the first and second Mishnah from the 11th Perek of Masechta Chulin. We'll actually be learning the entire Perek, because the Perek consists of just two Mishnayot. The Mishnah begins, Reshit HaGez Noheg Ba'aretz U'B'chutz Aretz. So here, as it's mentioned in the Torah, another one of the gifts to the Kohanim is the first of the shearings. Now we're going to explain exactly how much has to be given, and also what consists a tzon, meaning a flock. Because the Torah says, Reshit Gez Tzon Echa Titen Lo. You have the first of the shearings from your flock. So the question is, how many sheep consist of a flock? So Mishnah begins by telling us that first it applies both in Eretz Israel and outside Eretz Israel. The Gemara cites another opinion, the Braita, which is that of Rabbi Eli, that says actually it only applies in Eretz Israel. That is because we have what's called a Gzeira Shava, I mean, since it says Titen, or the language of Netina, by Rishit HaGez, and that by Truma, just as Truma only applies in Eretz Israel, so to Rishit HaGez. And the Rabban Paskins like that. Let's continue. Bifna bait v'shlo bifna bait, meaning this mitzvah is not dependent on the Beis Hamikdash being around. V'chulin aval lo b'mukdashin. And when it comes to this mitzvah, it only applies to regular animals, not those being consecrated as korbanot. This is even if we're dealing with an animal that was set aside for a korban, developed a mum, and was redeemed. The mitzvah of Rishit HaGez still doesn't apply. Now you might think that should be obvious, because we've mentioned previously that once it's redeemed, you're not even allowed to shear it. So clearly, it doesn't apply to korbanot. So then what is the Mishnah telling us? That it doesn't apply to korbanot. So the way Kati explains it, based on the Gemara, I believe, is that it's telling us that even a situation where someone didn't set this animal aside as a korbanot, but he consecrated to the Beit HaKabayit, meaning the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. He said, I'm giving this animal to the Beis HaMikdash aside from its shearings and the fact that it weakens it when I shear it as well. And that would allow him to retain the shearing. So in that situation, despite the fact the shearings belong to him, since it's not coming from his tzon necha, or tzon echa, I should say, from his tzon, because it belongs now to Hekdash, it would be exempt. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us, the novelty of saying lo b'mukdashim. Let's continue. Chomer b'zroa b'lechayim v'keva. So we find a stringency by the gifts of the Zroa l'chayim keva, which mentioned last perek, from that of Rishit HaGez, this particular gift. Why? Shazroa l'chaim v'keva noheng b'bakar v'tzon applies both to bakar and tzon, so cattle and sheep and the like. Ubamar b'mumat. It doesn't matter if you have slaughtered one animal or many animals, you still have to give this matana. When it comes to Rishit HaGez, ein noheng ela b'rechelot, it only applies to sheep, whether they are sheep or rams as well, male or female. But you don't find it by goats, you don't find it by, clearly not by cows. Also, it only applies to this quantity, your shearing of a tzon. So, in other words, if you just had one sheep and you sheared it, you wouldn't be chayiv in Rishit HaGez. So that brings us to the second Mishnah, kamahu maruba, how much is a lot? So Beit Shammai says, let's have a look where we see the reference to tzon in the Torah. How many is that? So he says, that's shtei rechelot. We find it first to two. As it says, since it's a pasuk from Mishayahu, yichei ish eglat bakar shtei tzon, that this man nourished a eglat bakar, which is a calf, and shtei tzon. So two, we find reference to being already referred to as a flock, tzon. That's opinion of Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, no, chamesh, it's five. Why? Because he's referring to what Abigail gave David HaMelech. It says, one of the things she gave him was chamesh tzon asuyot, five prepared tzon. So he says five is a reference to tzon. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinus Omer, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinus says, chamesh rechelot, yes, it is chamesh rechelot, but each of them has to be gozot mane mane upras, meaning each of them has to, you have to be able to shear from it at least 1.5 mane, which is, Kati does the conversion for us, which is 150 dinar, which is about 600 grams. That would be chayv Rishit HaGez. In other words, even if you sheared five of these sheep and you weren't able to get that amount from each of them, you wouldn't be chayv Rishit HaGez, because less than that is not considered a shearing. Chachamim says, no, chamesh rechelot, yes, I agree, it's five, just like Shitat Beit Hillel. However, gozozot kol shehen, even if they have even the smallest amount. Now, that's generally what the term kol shehen refers to. How about the Gemara explains that no, kol shehen is used here, is b'chachamim in comparison to the previous opinion, actually requires a lot less, but still has a minimum amount, and that is 12 sla'im. That's in comparison to the previous opinion, which was a lot more. The kama not nimlo, how much do you have to then give him? The Mishnah explains that's chamish, mishkal chamesh sla'im b'Yehuda, shen eser sla'im b'Galil. That's 15 sla'im in Yehuda, which is in the measure in the Galil, that had different measurement, which would be 10. And importantly, that weight is based on once it has already been meluban velotzoi, once it's already been clean, because you have to give it to him in this clean state, and the weighing is based on its clean state, but not when it's immediately sheared from the shear, where it's already quite dirty. Why is that? The shear kedei li'asot mimeno beged katan, because that's the smallest amount you can make a small beged, and avneda, like a belt. How do we know that you have to give a, at least give him amount to make a beggar katan? Shnemar, as it says, titen lo. When it says, you have to give, first thing you should give it to him. So the understanding of titen lo is, shiyek bo kadeh matana has to be an amount that can be considered a gift, so a significant amount. The Mishnah then continues, lo hispik li ten lo. If he did not give the chance to give that to the Kohen, when he was the amount he was chayv to give, ad shetzva'o, and he died at another color, then his patur is exempt from giving it to him. Now, that seems like a good thing, but it's actually not a good thing. Meaning, once he's already dyed it, he's been koneh, he acquires it through, by way of a shinui, by changing its state. Because he's been what's called mazik, he's damaged the matanot kahuna. The issue is, normally when you damage or steal something from someone, you have to pay them back. However, he can't even pay anyone back because this is mamon she'en lo tovim. In other words, he hasn't been given to any particular coin. That coin can come to him and say, you owe me the money that you have damaged. That's why it technically means patur, but he's done a bad thing. If he's libno, if he's already cleaned it, velotzva, and hasn't dyed it, then he's chayv, he has to give it to him in that state. Because libon, cleaning, is not considered a shinui, enough of a change, that would no longer make it considered reshit agez. Mishnah now continues, Olkeach gez tsono shel nochri. If someone purchases just the gez, just the shearing, the wool, from the flock of a nochri, even prior to it being sheared off it, off the tzon, we say patur mishnah gez is exempt, because again, the flock belongs still to the nochri, and therefore doesn't qualify as the pasuk says, reshit gez tzonecha, that reshit gez, the shearing is coming from your sheep. Halokech gez tzono shechavero. What happens if someone is buying the shearings from his friend? It says, im shear hamocher, hamocher chayiv. If the seller kept some of the shearing for himself, then the obligation is on the seller to separate the required amount of wool for the matana kahuna. Because it is a chazaka that we say, since he's retained some for himself, it's a chazaka that someone doesn't sell on these matana kahuna. However, if he sells the entire amount, loshir, then hakolokea chayav, then the obligation is on the purchaser to separate some of this wool and give it to the kohen. What if there are two different types of sheep? Shchufot ulevanot, black and white species. And we say, machar lo shchufot aval ulevanot. If he sold him just the shchufot, the dark ones, and not the white ones, or zecharim aval lo nekavot, had he sold the male sheep and not the female ones, I mean the shearings from the male sheep and not female ones, I should be saying, zenoten latzmo vezenoten latzmo. Each of them should give the mount for themselves. Now what this sounds like is, if you sell one type, it's considered as if the whole type is sold, as if the mocher didn't retain anything, and each of them have an independent obligation. However, the Gemara says that's not really the case. Since some was retained, it doesn't matter it was from a different type, the obligation is still placed on the seller. So what's Mishnah telling us? That zenoten latzmo vezenoten latzmo. And that's what's referred to is, he's giving the mocher an etza, a good advice. Meaning the obligation on the seller is to give enough shearing to satisfy his obligation for the entire flock. However, since he's retained the wool of a higher quality, he's retained the levanot, or he's retained the females, the white or the female wool, then it wouldn't be wise for him to separate from the higher quality to satisfy those from the inferior quality. So the good advice is, we tell the mocher, the seller, to purchase some of the wool back from the person who purchased it from him, of the smaller amount that would satisfy the requirement for those sheep, and that way he's not, if you like, over-gifting. He's not giving superior quality more than he needs to satisfy the entire flock. Now you might find this difficult based on my explanation. Before we said kamanotnim, we gave a particular shear which was chamesh slaim, and now we're saying there's a particular requirement for each. It sounds like a proportional measure. So really, when we said previously kamanotnim lo, the Gemara there explains it's not talking about the minimum amount, because the minimum amount, as mentioned by the Rambam, is actually at least a 60th. So no less than a 60th. That's why, in the situation we've got two different types, the wise advice is to give a 60th from the white and a 60th from the black to satisfy the requirement for both. That makes sense for the sefer. So what are we talking about earlier on in the Mishnah when it says kama not nimlo? there, the understanding is that if you've got many different coinium and you've got a significant amount of this Reshita Giz and you want to give each coin a particular amount. So there, the understanding is you should give each coin no less than Chamesh Slaim, Behuda, and As Eser Slaim Begalil, like we said previously. In other words, each coin, if you're going to give them a small amount, it has to be, well, again, what's called Kedei Netina. I hope that clarified the earlier part of the Mishnah and those of the Mishnah today.